Hello, my friends, and welcome to the 10th of November, our Deeper Daily Podcast. 9 times a week, we have audio drops. 7 days a week is the DDP, and then twice a week, our long sermons, Wednesdays and Sundays. Wednesday is our studies in John from North Georgia, and Sundays are our travels from around the world. You can catch all of those wherever you're listening to this podcast in audio form. If you like video, you can get the 2 long sermons on video at our website, paulwhiteministries.com, or at our YouTube page, which is PWM. I arrived today on our journeys through the Old Testament stories through a New Covenant lens, specifically in the book of Psalms for the last few weeks. Psalms is a big book, and I'm just working left to right, enjoying the journey. I'm on the 78th Psalm today. This is a big one, 72 verses long. Of course, I'm not going to read the whole thing, and not even going to read a whole lot of it out loud, actually. I think it's one that you should go take a look at for this reason. If you want a retelling through a little different perspective of Israel's journey through the wilderness, how God felt about them, what God saw when he looked at them, then I recommend you read the 78th Psalm. It is a contemplation of Asaph. So this is not a Davidic psalm, but this is a telling of what happened when Israel came out of the land of Egypt. It actually goes back even farther than that. I'm not going to recount the entire thing, but it is pretty cool to see how God saw them. And there's this roller coaster experience that happens a little bit in Psalm 78. Where God looks at Israel and then he blesses them, and then Israel sort of talks back. You know, is God able to do this? So God shows up and shows out in a way. Water comes out of the rock. He brings bread. They question him again. The Bible uses the phrase furious. Anger comes up in his heart because they didn't believe God, because they didn't trust in his salvation. But then he opens heaven. He rains manna, what Psalm 78 calls men ate angels' food. He causes the wind to blow and rain meat down on the ground so they're not deprived of food. And then they begin to get judged because they have forgotten God. They have questioned God. They fought against God. And then this strikes me when I read this text. Beginning in Psalm 78, listen to 37, and I'm going to read a few verses. Their heart was not steadfast with him, nor were they faithful in his covenant, but he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and did not destroy them. Yet many a time he turned his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath, for he remembered that they were but flesh, a breath that passes away and does not come again. Listen to that phrase. He remembered that they were but flesh. I don't think he remembered is a phrase that makes us assume he had forgotten. That word's a little different. It's not as if you've forgotten something and you need to call it to memory. It's you rehearse or replay something that you know already. This is why when Jesus breaks bread with the disciples, this, as often as you do this in remembrance of me. It's not Jesus saying, you guys are going to forget about me, so keep taking communion so you don't forget about me. No, it's rehearse in your ears what I did for you when you eat this. Do that every time you eat it. Put me back together in memory. So when he remembered they were but flesh, it's not that he had forgotten. It's that God rehearsed over and again in front of his own eyes the fact that man is just flesh, a breath that passes away and does not come again. That phrase, a breath that passes away and does not come again, is very indicative of the Old Testament thinking in regards to death. The Old Testament doesn't have a lot of references to what happens beyond the grave, although there is a little evidence here and there that through enough of the writing that there's believed to be something, but it wasn't a universal thought process. I don't want to get in the weeds there. That's just something free. What grabs me is how much this looks like Calvary. When Jesus is hanging on the cross, at the foot of the cross are men gambling for his clothing. There are soldiers who are keeping the crowds away from him, who are one step from finishing his life if need be. They ultimately, after his death, will put a spear through his heart. Blood and water will flow. Prior to the crucifixion, they've beat him with rods in their own fists. They've spit upon him. The Old Testament indicates they've plucked the beard from his hair, from his face. They've crushed his skull with a crown of thorns. They've mocked him. They've laughed at him. They forced him to carry his own cross, and they hang him naked on a cross in front of the crowd. And in the middle of all that hate and vitriol and anger, he who has done nothing to deserve death, but here he hangs, says the most remarkable of human statements. The statement that is, I read one writer recently said, the most impossible statement to accept that Jesus says on the cross, and that is, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. And this writer was just baring his heart by saying it's the most impossible to accept. I know what he means. It's impossible to understand the kind of attitude that says, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. How can you say that? How can anyone say that when this is so terrible? Can we really be expected to believe that you can forgive them? They know not what they do. I don't think it has as much to do with the theology of forgiveness as much as it does the theology of remembrance. Psalms 78:39, he remembered that they were but flesh. God put man in front of his consciousness over and over and kept seeing that he is just a man. The reason he is so pitiful, the reason he keeps sinning, the reason he is such a failure is he's just a man. If I continue to get mad at him and stir up my wrath every time he fails, I'll never do anything but get mad at him. Jesus personifies this on the cross. Father, we're going to have to forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Or as I like to say it, Father, we're going to have to forgive them. It ain't easy being them. They're just flesh. They're just people. So hey, go a little easier on your fellow man today. And maybe go a little easier on yourself today. This is not to give an excuse for failure and sin. I mean, who wants to fail? But it is to relax a little bit. The Father understands your frailty, my frailty. He understands our humanity. And as we walk this out, just remember that he remembers that we are but flesh. Now, New Covenant lens, we're not only flesh. We're also a spirit man. So there is no excuse to just overlook failure. But also remember that our Father knows we are frail and loves us in spite of our frailty. Some more from the book of Psalms tomorrow. Have a great day. God bless.